This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Happy New Year, everyone, and we are coming to you a little bit earlier this week on New Year's Eve. We wanted to squeeze in an early podcast as tomorrow will be very difficult with the bowl games and New Year's Day and everything, and we thought Thursday would be a little bit late to get one to you with so much going on. We've got a lot to cover on Thursday. Getting ready for the NFL playoffs. We have a lot to cover with the national championship game. So a lot going on Thursday. We wanted to get together a little bit early. A lot to get to today. The biggest things going on. Obviously want to get to Black Monday, which started now. We have seven openings in the NFL. Got the NFL playoffs set. Some issues going on at Miami. And look at the college playoff game. So we'll spend a little time today, not as long as normal, hopefully, but we'll spend a little time today going through the latest going ons in the world of football. Remind you, limited time available for the holiday special that we have, and you can still get that late holiday gift to yourself or to a loved one. The gift of football all year long, LandryFootball.com. If you're not yet a member, folks, we think you'll love it. We take you inside the game from inside the film room. We've got, obviously, as the season is winding down, the film breakdowns of the games during the season that we preview and review, those are winding down, but we're getting into that off-season stage where we're really breaking down rosters in college and the NFL. Recruiting, of course, free agency, the draft, you name it. We have got it all covered in this entire offseason. All year long, it's football here at LandryFootball.com. Just go and check it out. We've got the year membership available. Also, remind you that we've got the War Room Club newsletter. That's free. All you have to do is go to LandryFootball.com and look for the War Room logo halfway down the right side of the front page and hit subscribe. Just put in your email. Again, it's free, and we'll get you on the War Room newsletter email list and get that for you. So we had openings in Green Bay and Cleveland. Green Bay has been looking at a number of different options. We're going to get into more of the candidates down the road. But Cleveland has certainly got Mike McCarthy very high on their list. The latest on Cleveland, I'll tell you this, is that the owner, Jim Haslam, has some interest in Greg Williams, but the general manager, John Dorsey, is not comfortable with Greg Williams, working with Greg Williams as a head coach. It's a little bit difficult to deal with at times in John's eyes. So I think they're going in a different direction, at least if John Dorsey has his say in this one. The Jets fired Todd Bowles. The general manager situation apparently is going to stay the same. Huge mistake in New York for the Jets. The Broncos, once again, John Elway, what's like 5 and 6 years coaches. It's been an abomination, the job that he's done. Vance Joseph gone after a couple of years. Bad hire, bad move to begin with. Tampa Bay has fired Dirk Koetter. Jason Light staying on board to hire another coach. Intriguing there. Cincinnati, finally, Marvin Lewis is gone. The only issue was whether they were going to want to pay him off. They have, and they will. His tenure in Cincinnati is over. We thought that might be ending last year. It is ending this year. And then the Dolphins, as we kind of expected, Stephen Ross was going to make a move on Adam Gase. So we do expect a change in Arizona. I will say this. When you hire a coach and fire him after 1 year, the person that hired him should not be there. The problem is, in this case, is you've got the owner, Michael Bidwell, that operates the team that is really responsible for making this decision. and ultimately Steve Keim was involved in the process, no question. But the reason why Steve Keim will likely survive this is it's kind of hard to fire Steve Keim when Steve did what the owner wanted done, and that is to hire Steve Wilks and then realizing that it's not working and moving on. Has this team been well coached? No, it hasn't. But the biggest issue is the overall personnel on this team. A bad situation altogether. We'll get into some of the openings, some of the candidates going forward. Jacksonville, Carolina, Washington among the teams that we think are going to stay status quo, although nothing definite on Washington yet. That is still a possibility. So that will put us at 8. And again, don't be surprised if another one ends up going in that direction as well. Staying on the coaching front, it was a surprise to many that Mark Richt decided to step down at University of Miami. A bigger surprise to me that they strike so quickly with Manny Diaz. I can tell you that Mark was the guy that kind of put the impetus on getting Manny the job, who had just taken the job at Temple last week. Not sure that this is a sign to me of where the Miami program is. It is a shell of itself, and certainly not the program that it was, and a big risk on Manny Diaz, who's very risky. Don't know that first-time head coach there, which we've seen first-time head coaches be really successful. But Manny Diaz has been very inconsistent, very up and down as a defensive coordinator. Very young. Hope that it works out for that program. But this has not gone well under Mark Richt. I know there was a brief excitement last year of a nice little run. And part of it was obviously with Manny being there in the defense. So that led to this decision. Mark ran the offense. But I don't know big picture that this is where it's the best fit for Miami. But it is kind of where they are. It's realistic of they certainly could get someone more qualified with a better background, a better pedigree. But I don't know that they could get someone as big as people might have thought, and I think that's part of the problem here. So as we go forward with Miami, we wonder exactly where the program is in terms of its resources. It is definitely, to me, a program that's absolutely struggling. And I'm hoping that Manny Diaz works out, but everyone will ask, so I will answer. It's what about Mario Cristobal at Oregon? He's a Miami grad. Mario Cristobal was not interested. The money he's making, the commitment at Oregon, it's a better job. That's where the Miami program has gone to this point, where they can't even afford to make a run at one of their own. So got a long way to go. And again, maybe Manny can kind of turn this fortunes around, but that's where we are now. All right, folks, the NFL playoffs are set. Not a whole lot of surprises, unless you were surprised in the Vikings' performance. It was a pretty exciting day, but not surprising in my eyes. The Eagles are playing good ball, no doubt. I think give the Bears a better game than the Vikings would. Listen, I think we saw the Vikings at home against Chicago struggle mightily. And that's one, by the way, we need to keep an eye out on. There could be some changes, and wouldn't even shock me if Mike Zimmer decided to look at something else or remove himself from that situation or, you know, who knows. But I digress. The Eagles are playing good ball, and ought to be a good matchup going to Chicago this week. The Cowboys played well, played Dak Prescott all game. Risky move. Got away with it. They're hosting a really good Seahawks team. And, you know, if this was in Seattle, Seattle would be a big-time favorite. On the road, this ought to be a good matchup. Seattle's playing really good ball and, quite frankly, a toss-up game. In the AFC, we've got the Chargers going to the Ravens. We'll get into this a little bit on Thursday, but you'd be foolhardy to think, oh, well, we saw this game last week, didn't we? Ravens beat Chargers in Los Angeles. No problem beating the Chargers this week. Don't be surprised. Don't be so surprised if it's a lot different game. We'll get into why that's going to be and why the Chargers have got a really good shot on the road in Baltimore. And certainly the Colts finishing off the Titans Sunday night, playing the Texans in Houston, a Houston team that won the division. Great turnaround. Both of these teams had great turnaround. Talk about, you know, how it's hard to judge a team in the early part of the season as you kind of get a little bit of a feel and a little bit of a flow. You start to make some corrections, you start to make some improvements, you start to figure out some things. And boy, did both the Colts and the Texans do a really good job of that. The Colts have won, got several in a row, except for one loss there. They've been really hot. The Texans, same thing. So something's got to give here. And I think this sets up, as I've mentioned, these playoffs are going to be some of the most exciting. This is where the NFL shines, folks. College football has a better regular season, but boy, the NFL certainly has a better postseason. This is where it gets really fun. These next two weekends, two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. Come back the division round, two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. We've got the next two weekends are really a lot of fun, and we get to see a lot of teams. And this year, I think they're teams like the Eagles, like the Seahawks, like the Chargers, and like the Colts that are lower seeds, that are, you know, six seeds or five seeds that are really good and got a good chance of winning games. So we're going to get down into the matchups. But a lot of balance this year. It's going to be a lot of fun to get into the playoff lux. All right, let's get into what we saw on Saturday in the national semifinals. Maybe a little bit surprising. We told you that if Clemson played a really good game that they would likely win going away against Notre Dame. They were able to do that big time. Give them a lot of credit. I thought Clemson did a very good job. Notre Dame, while good, clearly against a more physical, more athletic team, and that was ultimately the difference here. I thought Clemson was really balanced on offense, but defensively they took control of this game. I did not see Clemson completely shutting out Notre Dame and just controlling the game. They did that. They did that extremely well. And this Clemson team's very good. We've known that all year long. We've seen it. I think we thought at the beginning of the year that Clemson and Alabama would be likely participants in the national championship. They are, but they're really good. A lot of talk about, well, Notre Dame didn't belong. And folks, here's the problem with the playoff process, or here's a problem with trying to get it to everybody's satisfaction. First of all, you're not going to do that. Not everyone is always going to be happy, because every year you have a different amount of playoff caliber teams. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, in that order, are the three teams that, to me, all year long, are most of the year graded as playoff caliber. No one else did. Well, you can't have a three-team playoff. Some years you might have two. Some years you might have one and then a drop-off. Some years you might have four. I mean, you don't know. So this is why I would say having bowl games, using the month of December to create good bowl matchups and picking the teams after the bowl games makes more sense. Do you really want to see playoffs of these sorts, you know, where they're blowouts? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But what you can do is put the matchups that help to identify the truly best teams of the year. So if you're sitting there and you're wondering who's better, Clemson or Georgia or Clemson or Notre Dame Georgia, you can create some bowl matchups. And out of that, you pretty much are going to come up with the two best teams in the country after the bowl games. But it's going to be very difficult and very frustrating, and I think most people look at it as we thought they would. Well, they didn't get the four best teams. Well, I think we knew that, and I think we explained they didn't get the four best teams in when they made the selections. But they got it spread out with how they wanted to do it and make a case for as many conferences as possible when the reality is two of the best four teams were from the same league, and the other one is Clemson. Clemson's no worse than second best, maybe even first best. We'll find out next Monday night. But that's the way she goes. Alabama, Oklahoma, I mean, didn't we kind of explain this to you that this was a game in which Alabama could score against Oklahoma, could move the ball against Oklahoma at will. That happened. They could control the football, run the football well. That happened. But we also said if it gets into a shootout type of game, then that makes it very difficult for the Alabama defense to get off the field. You get worn down. And that also happened. What happened that was a little bit surprising is that Alabama made so many mistakes that a lot of unforced errors. They shot themselves in the foot quite a bit. They played a very sloppy game. I thought Alabama played, quite frankly, a very unimpressive game, second, third quarter. Other than the first quarter, it wasn't Alabama-like, but it was enough to win. They had built up enough equity in terms of points, margin. I mean, they had a 28-point lead, and then it was, for the rest of the game, it became an 11-point margin, 18-point margin, 11-point margin, 18-point margin, 11-point margin, 18-point margin. So give Oklahoma credit for fighting, but the reality is that Alabama, it's why I said the way that Alabama wanted to play this, the way that Alabama needed to play this, was to play a compressed game to protect their defense. Well, early in the game, Oklahoma couldn't do anything against Oklahoma, against Alabama's defense. Well, why is that? Well, Alabama's defense is fresh leg. They were able to play well. They were able to pattern match. They were able to get pressure. They were able to force Kyler Murray into some errant throws. And there you go. As they got more and more snaps, as Alabama was not able to control the football quite as much, as Alabama made mistakes and with their own worst enemy on offense, then the margin started to slip a little bit. And then now Alabama's defense is on the field more and more. And then Oklahoma, big play. One series, Oklahoma basically faces an Alabama defense down 28-0, rather, that Alabama clearly took the series off. I mean, it was just, you know, mental lapses. Boom, it's 28-7. Well, no big deal. You know, then Oklahoma really couldn't do anything but get a couple of field goals until Alabama's offense sputters and sputters some more, makes some mistakes. And then all of a sudden, Oklahoma, you know, against a gassed Alabama defense, scores here, scores there, makes it a game. Alabama comes back, closes it out. Listen, it's not being critical. You win. A win is a win is a win. But just trying to analyze, again, how it was going to have to play out, this is how we thought it would be. This is how the matchup we thought would work. This is going to be a completely different matchup. We'll get into it more when we're talking about Alabama and Clemson. It's a matchup that's a little bit more at the line of scrimmage, and it's going to be quite challenging for both teams. So going to be a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed the game, and I hope you enjoyed this brief podcast that we had today to kind of recap where we are with and by the way, we have our eighth coaching opening. As I'm doing this podcast, I get the word from Arizona that Steve Wilks is out. So now we have eight openings in the NFL. Green Bay, Cleveland, the Jets. Denver, Tampa, Cincinnati, Miami, and Arizona. That is the count as we sign off to you this New Year's Eve. Eight coaching openings. It happens so often it's scary. We'll get down into it, drill down to it even more as the days and weeks go along here. Reminder, again, on Thursday, we'll break down the playoff matchups. We'll break down the national championship matchup. Big day Thursday. We'll get to some of your questions we want to address here that we always do. If you got any questions, send them at Chris. Contact Chris on the Landry Football Podcast, on the LandryFootball.com, rather, and we'll address it here in the podcast. So check us out at LandryFootball.com. Get a membership. Take advantage of the holiday special while you still can. We appreciate you listening. We hope you have a happy New Year. Be safe on New Year's Eve. We didn't even get to the bowl matchups. We talked a little bit about some of them last week, but we've got obviously some interesting bowl matchups this week with Missouri, Oklahoma State today, Northwestern, Utah today in the Holiday Bowl. Starts off with Cincinnati, Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, Stanford, Michigan State, Oregon, NC State, A&M. We've got all the previews up on LandryFootball.com, so you can check those out. On New Year's Day on Tuesday, we've got some interesting bowl matchups. Iowa, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Penn State, LSU, Central Florida, Ohio State, Washington, Georgia, Texas. That's all on New Year's Day. Got all the previews up on LandryFootball.com. Detailed previews, how we see the matchups going. So be sure you check at LandryFootball.com for those. Again, Happy New Year. Talk to you on Thursday.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
This is a Jim Fannin Show Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
You know, as we get ready to prepare for our blueprint for the greatest year ever, and that's coming in just a few days, you need to look back and do a major score check for the year. Were you disciplined? Were you committed to the tasks and the routines and the goals that were going to lead to some vision in every one of your arenas? How was your discipline level during the year? And if it fell off in June or if it fell off in August, and what was that big score breaker that took you out of the zone? Was it external or was it internal in terms of your thoughts? And maybe your expectations were too high. Maybe they were too low. How was your self-discipline during the year? And what did you learn about your self-discipline? Do you see any patterns that maybe you had where, yeah, I can focus for 10 days and then, you know, I'm unfocused for 20? You know, what is that discipline pattern and what are those fluctuations? And more importantly, why do they happen and can they be prevented?
The Jim Fannin Show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.